and welcome to the That's Tough podcast. I'm your host, Jake Harmon, joined by my good friend, my partner in radio, and my childhood hero, Landon Twombly. Landon, how are we doing today, man?
Dude, I'm great. I'm stoked to be back.
Yeah, we're back. Episode 5.
Episode 5.
So much to catch up on.
Dude, it's been a wild ride.
For those listening, this is probably going to be a pretty sports-heavy episode.
Yeah.
So
we miss a lot. A lot has happened.
There's a lot to recap, so I figured it'd be good to kind of go through a lot of the sports things that that have kind of happened and things like that. But yeah, but first of all, the first thing I think I want to talk about. So both of us have had some good weekends the past couple weekends.
Yeah.
But for you, my friend, you and your band.
Dude.
Tell me about this concert, bro.
Bro.
I didn't get to watch it.
You didn't get to watch it. Hey, that's
I didn't. But tell me about plug your band,
I mean,
honestly, and all the Moody Boys, man.
Yeah. I mean, let me get right into it here. We have a band. We're called Quarter Italian. Mm. We performed in Chicago this past weekend. Had quite the turnout. Quite the turnout. If I were a guessing man, which occasionally on this podcast I am, I would say there were about 200 people there.
Wow.
So, I mean, like,
that's awesome.
Quite the turnout. I've got a whole Google Drive of photos I can show you afterwards.
Okay.
Not super inclusive for our podcast listeners.
Yeah.
But podcast listeners, there is a link. We are on YouTube. The entire show is on YouTube. Just look up Quarter Italian Moody Bible Institute. It'll pop right up, the live stream from the show. I will say it doesn't quite do the amount of fans there justice because it's mainly focused on the band, which,
right.
Understandably.
Right.
But dude, it was a great time. It was a great time. I crowd surfed.
That's awesome. How was that experience?
Dude, I'm going to tell you, it was weird. I've crowd surfed before, but every other time it's either not work. Okay, you know what? Let me just give you the history of my crowd surfing experience.
Okay, give me the history.
The first time was unofficial. Everyone was taking a group photo.
Okay.
And so I decided to crowd surf. I was encouraged to do so, and it didn't go well. Wasn't really caught and kind of fell. It was fine. Second time I tried to do it, I said, I'm going to do it better this time. But, you know, I made a mistake. I went head first, face down. For crowd
that
surfing.
That seems like a mistake.
That seems like a mistake because obviously crowd surfing is very reliant upon touching.
Yeah, for sure. I'm picking up what you're
picking up
getting.
What I'm putting down here. And so we're a boy band. You know, it's five guys, five Italian dudes. Mm-hmm. And so the majority of our fan base is female. Mm. And so face down crowd surfing was not the wisest choice.
Mm.
So round three, I say I'm going to crowd surf again, but I'm not going face down.
Good call.
Going to go back as you do. And that, it went a lot better. They caught me, but then they just kind of threw me back. It was good time.
Nice.
But this time I was like, guys, I want to crowd surf. I told them, I was like, I want to crowd surf. I want to make it good. So they remembered that.
Mm.
So at the last song before the encore, of course, I crowd surfed. And I mean, man, I was up there for a while. It felt like it was long enough. Every other time I crowd surfed, I've been like, oh, wow, this is great. And then it was done. I got up there, got past the it was great moment, and then was very aware of how many people I didn't know were touching my butt. So that was kind of uncomfortable. But, you know, got through it and then just kept on performing, man.
You crowd surfed way more than probably most people.
I think so, yeah.
Like that should be an honor.
I feel honored about that. I do. Yeah.
That's really cool, man.
It was a good time.
Also, you guys are on Instagram. I just followed you on Instagram.
Yeah, we are on Instagram at quarter.italian. Give us a follow. Some of the pictures have been posted there. And so, yeah, I mean, we're open to gigs. If you're interested in having a not great but super fun band, come and play some covers at your birthday party or whatever, give us a call.
Yeah. Shout out to the Moody Boys, man. That's a fun time.
It was a great time. So, and then you... Now you have to tell me about your exciting weekend because you went to a Guardians playoff game.
I did.
And I want you to tell me all about it.
I might change some of my thinking about baseball.
Interesting. Wow.
I really enjoyed my experience. So, again, this happened like not this past weekend, but the weekend before. I went to the Guardians Rays, the wild card game. It was game one. In Cleveland at Progressive Field.
Yep.
Used to be called Jacobs Field, but then they changed the name. And, you know, we used to have it like – some people still call it the Jake, but it's Progressive Field now. But anyways, playoff game. It was – I think – maybe this helps, but I think it was like the fastest playoff game like maybe ever played.
I heard that.
Or played in like a long time, basically. Like, it was so quick. Like, I remember looking at the clock and like it was like an hour had gone by and it was like the sixth inning. And I was like, what? But anyways, yeah, it was so exciting, man. Like, I felt like such a connection to this team. Because we're kind of like the underdogs. And I think looking at some sort of like Twitter post, I think our roster is like, I mean, the Yankees are paying their roster is like $200 and something million, right? The Guardians is like $60 million or something
good
like that.
Good for the
like,
Guardians.
And they're right there in the playoffs. And
we're in the playoffs.
The game I went to, well, we were, yeah. The game that I went to, game one of the Rays, against the Rays, we won 2-1.
Good work.
Our pitcher, Shane Bieber, probably our best pitcher, gave up a home run in the sixth. Mm. And then, but like only gave up, I think, like three hits the whole game.
Okay.
Three hits. He was
solid
phenomenal.
Day. He was solid phenomenal. Day.
They didn't get past second base besides that home run the whole game. So.
Sounds like going to a Christian college, am I right?
Please don't go any further. And then after that, literally the same inning, Jose Ramirez hit a home run, a 2-run home run to give us the lead, and then we ended up winning 2-1. So that was
wonderful.
But yes, as you mentioned, we're no longer in the playoffs. We just lost to the Yankees in Game 5 last night, and that was tough. That was tough. But a good season.
Good,
I mean, like, Yankees are good, and this team was really fun to watch. Really, really good. Fun. So yeah, that was just kind of.
So you might like baseball more.
I might be more of a baseball guy. I'm not committing to like watching every regular season game or whatever.
I will say. Sorry if I was cutting you off.
No, go ahead.
Going to the ballpark and watching a game is a completely different experience, and it's so much fun.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I went to a probably 6 years ago now. I went to a Giants game in San Francisco, and that was awesome. It's
That's
like
awesome.
You're in the park.
Yeah.
You know, there's the music and the popcorn. It's a good time.
I will say too. It was the first playoff game, like postseason game I've ever been to.
That's exciting, too.
So, like, the playoff atmosphere was awesome. Like we got, like, these towels that we were waving around.
Yes.
And, like, every pitch felt like had weight to it. Instead of the regular season, it was like, oh, whatever. Like,
right.
But, so that was, yeah, that was so exciting. But as we transition here, both of us are fans of the NBA, and the NBA season started actually last night at the time of recording this episode.
Yes, Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, yep. Lakers played the Warriors last night, mm-hmm. and the Celtics played the Sixers.
Yep.
But I want to talk about our specific teams.
Yeah, I really don't care. Let me preemptively say, my fandom of the NBA has gone down this year.
Okay.
It's just gotten harder to watch. And that's not even a bad thing. Like, I love basketball. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I haven't been that interested. So I didn't even know the NBA season was starting yesterday. I woke up this morning and was surprised to see scores. Mm. Anyways.
Yeah. But we both still have teams that we root for.
Yes.
Landon, you are a Pacers fan.
Yes, sir.
So maybe just give me your expectations for this Pacers team. Like, let me just ask you this question, I guess. As a Pacers fan, would you rather see your team exceed expectation and like make the playoffs maybe, or would you rather just this be like take this year as like a let's just like you're okay with being terrible, and then that way we get, you know, I have a close friend of mine who is a Pacers fan, and he is all on board the tank for Victor mm-hmm. Wembanyama. I don't know if you've seen this guy named Victor Wembanyama. He's the 7'4" like Kevin Durant type of player, like generational talent guy.
Right.
So some Pacers fans, I think, want to see them tank for this guy or a high draft pick. What would you rather see for the Pacers this year? And what do you see happening for the Pacers this year? By the way, Liverpool just scored.
Oh, we did.
We're
let's go. Landon, Darwin Nunez, come on, boys.
Landon and I, as we're recording this podcast, are following the Liverpool-West Ham game because he's a Liverpool fan and I'm a West Ham fan. And Liverpool just went up 1-0.
We're going to get to Liverpool in a minute. I have never, you know, I'm just gonna save it. I'm gonna save my excitement. You know, I really couldn't care less about the Pacers in regards to whether they tank or whether they don't.
Okay.
If there's a good player on the board this draft, I'm okay with us tanking for this year. We have some good young players I think are locked in for at least a couple years.
Yeah.
I think we've built up some trade, some draft picks coming in through trades, and so I think a tank's not a bad option, because here's the reality. When you're based out of Indiana, And the Cavs are having a similar issue, and always have. It's not a destination.
Mm-hmm.
And with such a free agency-driven league, these small market teams are getting less and less, not even likely, it's less and less possible for them to be good.
Yeah. Well, or you just have to draft really well.
You have to draft really well and get kind of lucky.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, part of drafting is like you have to draft well, but also players get hurt, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, so the Suns are a good example of a small market team that has turned out really well.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just not a lot of hope in terms of being good as an Indiana Pacers fan. So, if we're in the playoffs, I'm happy. I'm excited. You know, like, we have a chance to have that playoff atmosphere in Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exciting. But, yeah, if we tank, that's also fine. I mean,
you know, it's actually not called Bankers Life anymore.
What? They changed it again?
Oh, what's the name? This is bad. I'm blanking.
It used to be Conseco.
It used to be Conseco, and then it was Bankers Life, and now it's Gamebridge.
Gamebridge?
I think it's Gamebridge Fieldhouse now.
Man, this is how out of touch I am with the Indiana Pacers. Anyways, that's very interesting. And yeah, that's about all I have to say.
Okay.
I think you – tell me about your Cavs.
Yeah, so I think the Cavs obviously made a lot of noise this offseason with getting Donovan Mitchell, which is big time. That's
mm-hmm.
that's big time. I'm really excited about that. I think one of the reasons why I'm so excited about it is us getting rid of Colin Sexton. I don't say that as like I hate Colin Sexton. I think he's a good player, and mm-hmm. I do like him a lot. He brings this intensity and this tenacity that you love. But I think what we saw last year was Darius Garland basically take over this team as his team. And
made
the All-Star game, like, was phenomenal last mm-hmm. year. And him and Sexton together just didn't really work very well.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think one of them had to go. And because Garland played so well last year, because Sexton was hurt all year,
right?
I felt like you had to go with Garland. And I just like the way he plays more. I think Garland's more unselfish, a big assist guy. Always was like kind of I think he was in the top 10 in the league in assists last year, like assists per game last year. So I like the move. It was sad that we got rid of our first round pick as a part of that deal,
mm-hmm.
OJ Agbaji from Kansas. But I will say I love Donovan Mitchell. So I mean, our lineup now, at least how I would play it, would be Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, and I would probably throw Okoro in there, Isaac Okoro, for some defense.
Good player.
Because Garland and Mitchell are like very not great on ball defenders.
Yeah.
So throw Okoro in there for some defense, get a guy that can guard their best player, like, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then Evan Mobley and Jared Allen.
It's a good five. Especially in the East this year,
mm-hmm.
I think you guys have there's a lot of opportunity for you guys to be good.
Yeah, I just don't know quite yet how deep we are. We have Kevin Love off the bench, Isaiah Mobley, the rookie that we kept. Jetty Osman, who's kind of a shooter. Caris LeVert, who's a great – I think he's a guy that you can – that can come off the bench and score in
he's
the teens.
He's a great six
teens,
man.
Probably any game he wants to. So I'm excited about our team. I think my expectations are maybe a little lower than some people. Some people think the Cavs are like a top four seed in the East. I don't know if we're there, but I think we're probably in the like 4-7 range probably.
You guys shouldn't be in the play-in.
Like we probably shouldn't be in the play-in, but I could see it happening. But mm-hmm. we should make if we don't make the playoffs, like it's a bad year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I'm excited. I'm really excited about this Cavs team. I love the energy. Bickerstaff has done well. The players seem to love him. So I'm really excited for this Cavs team this year. I think it should be really, really exciting. And Donovan Mitchell, similarly to Utah, like we've seen him in Utah be able to carry a team that has good pieces, but maybe mm-hmm. isn't the best. Like they've never really made a run in the playoffs, Utah.
Which has been disappointing for
which
Utah,
has been disappointing.
Which is why they've rebuilt the way that
yeah,
they have.
But I think he can do similar things with this Cavs team with some pieces that are maybe a little bit younger and also I don't know. I just like the youth of our team and
mm-hmm.
But moving on from there, maybe in another episode we can predict like who we think is going to win the title or something like that in another episode. But let's go to a different sport altogether.
Are we going across the pond or are we staying?
We're going across the pond.
Across the pond here.
Little Formula One.
Formula One.
Tell me.
Funny story. Formula One is in the States this weekend. Austin, Texas. Yeah.
My professor of my event management class, shout out to Marcus Moore if he listens to the podcast.
Yes, sir.
Probably not. But he told me, he told us in our class that one of his friends is actually flying down to Austin
really?
to go to the race.
Yeah.
But that's, so that seems super exciting. But
yeah. So, I mean, Max Verstappen wrapped up the world championship, which
was that expected?
It was completely expected. I mean, the season is, there's, I don't know how many races left are, but like, it hasn't been competitive at all. Red Bull and Max have completely run away with it. However, there's been a bit of drama. Red Bull have just gotten found out. It just got discovered that they went over the spending limit.
Oh.
For this year's car.
Okay.
Which they only went, it was a small, it was like less than 10% over.
Okay.
Which you're like, that's not that much. But that's like maybe $1 million, if not more, a couple million dollars. And when you're talking about racing, you know, that could be a new like power differential, like front wing, like it could be anything. And so there's some heat going at Red Bull for cheating.
Okay.
And I don't think that they're going to get
what's like the penalty for going over? Okay.
We don't know yet.
Has that ever happened?
I think it has, and it's tough because it's 10%. And so, like, the penalty for 10% over is not that much, but it's in such a dominant year where Max has run away with it. It's just been kind of interesting. They've been super fast. And so we'll see what happens. But, I mean, Max has been phenomenal this year. I think he definitely deserved a win. And, you know, I'm happy for him. And I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think it would have been, I think they would have won anyway. The reason that Ferrari didn't win wasn't because they had a bad car. It was because they literally don't know how to race. and yeah, so I think that's that. And so I'm not super concerned about it for Red Bull. But that's pretty much all there is to know in Formula One.
Gotcha. Well, an interesting storyline for sure. You'll have to keep me updated on that.
I will keep you updated.
Well, let's move into some picks of the week here.
When are we going to talk about Liverpool and Man City?
Oh, actually, let's do that right now.
Okay.
Let's
Thank
do that right
goodness.
Now.
I'm sorry. I'm so excited about this.
Get on your soapbox here. Maybe we just need to start like a soapbox
segment.
And just let one person just rant for like 20 minutes.
You know, I'm going to – here we go. I'm on my
Please
soapbox.
Please don't rant for 20 minutes, actually.
I won't rant for 20 minutes.
Okay, but go ahead.
So the starting of the year for Liverpool was less than disappointing. It was almost heartbreaking, you know, drawing games against teams that we should not be drawing games to, giving up goals that we should not be giving up, an inability to win soccer games. And it was hard. We're eighth in the league right now. And I really didn't have much hope, you know. And then not just a couple weeks ago, Luis Diaz, one of our best forwards, and Trent Alexander-Arnold, who has been under some heat, were both injured. And I will preface this to say that Trent Alexander-Arnold is my favorite player in the world. I think he offers something that no one has seen before from the right back position. And granted, he can be a bit lazy in his defending. I can admit that. So he got injured. And we played City on Sunday. And if you don't follow Premier League soccer, Manchester City is a juggernaut.
Their roster is filthy.
It's absolutely disgusting.
They're
tough. They're the definition of tough.
Yeah, they're tough.
They have the best striker in the world who has scored a ludicrous amount of goals in the first quarter of the season. If anyone scored the amount of goals he scored in the season, at the end of the year, they'd be like, pretty good year, pretty solid. He's unstoppable. And so we played them on Sunday, and Trent Alexander-Arnold was out. And so we had a test. It was at Anfield in Liverpool. And I'm going to be honest. I had hope, but not much. I thought that our team was going to turn into the United team of last year and be terrible. And boy, oh boy, was I wrong. I mean, we went into that game and just absolutely knocked the socks off of Manchester City. Did everything right. Virgil van Dijk and Joe Gomez held strong at the center back position, and Erling Haaland had nothing all game. Nothing at all. Alisson Becker, safe hands. Safe hands from the keep. I mean, the forwards were looking dangerous. If you looked at the stats, you would say, okay, City dominated the game. They had more possession and more shots. But in reality, they did not. They did not at all. We had better chances. We had more quality chances. I mean, we could have won that game 3-4-0. I mean, they really didn't have any quality chances. De Bruyne was knocked off his rocker. Pep was a crying baby. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely amazing. Mo Salah strikes in, I think it was like about the 75th minute. The keeper plays a long ball. He absolutely boxes out Joao Cancelo and turns him one-on-one with the keep. Just absolute, the definition of composure. Slots it in. Anfield erupted, dude. It was amazing. I'm not going to lie. I've watched the goal every day. At least twice. My wife is sick of it, and I couldn't be more excited. Just a huge win for the boys. I think it's great for Trent. He played in like the 90th minute at the end. Mm. James Milner started it right back. Very defensive of Jurgen Klopp.
Jurgen.
But I think it's good for Trent. You know, he was injured. He saw us defend well in that win a game, a huge game. And so I think he's back in the lineup today against West Ham, and I think he's going to be phenomenal. Back to the Trent of old that we know.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I haven't been this excited. It's been a long – this is going to sound melodramatic, and it probably is. It's been a hard 6 months as a Liverpool fan. Mm. I'm not going to lie. We went from having the triple crown in our grasp to in 6 days having none or one. We won the Carabao Cup. Mm-hmm. I mean, gracious me. No, we won two. We won the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, which who cares? I mean, big deal, but whatever. To have four of the four major titles in your grasp, to lose, to City come back was heartbreaking. To lose in the Champions League final was heartbreaking. And then the starting of this year has been terrible. I've never been this excited after a Liverpool game, I think, in my life.
They jumped in the table to sixth.
We're
actually
sixth now.
Yeah, but they're still 11 points behind Arsenal. Arsenal's been phenomenal this year, man.
Arsenal's
they're
been
fun
tremendous.
To watch.
Which now we can get. I'm off my Liverpool soapbox. So excited about it. Some of the great games in the Premier League are getting postponed. Arsenal was supposed to play City today, and it got postponed.
That's frustrating.
And I'm really bummed about it because that'd be great. Oh, one thing about the Liverpool City game I wanted to mention. It is a wonderful classic sports rivalry. Like, nobody likes each other.
The managers don't like each other.
The managers don't like each other. The players don't like each other. It is brutal. The end of the game, there were, like, Jurgen got sent off.
Yeah.
I mean, some vicious challenges. It was delightful.
But it's great because, like, both of these rosters are so loaded that it's like either team like they're going to be phenomenal games regardless. Like either team could like I could see, like you said, like Liverpool could have easily won 4-0. City could have easily won 4-0 too.
Yeah.
Like they're like both of these the rosters that they have are just incredible, but those rivalries are what make sports fun, man.
Yeah.
They really are.
I love it. So it's fun to be able to be happy after a game again, you know, it's been a minute.
Yeah, well,
it's been a minute.
We'll see how Liverpool can kind of try to make their way back in the top four. They're only 4 points behind Chelsea, who's fourth. So
Chelsea is going to fall apart. Everybody knows that.
But let's move on to some picks of the week.
Let's
do
it. Okay, sorry. Thank you for my Liverpool time.
We're kind of doing this on the fly for the listeners, but I put down two NBA games, two NFL games, and a college football game. Are you good with that?
That sounds great.
All right.
That sounds great.
Game number one, and this was for myself. I'm gonna be completely honest. I'm totally being 1,000,000% selfish here.
Hey, you're the host of this podcast.
So are you.
And as some listeners have told me, you are by far more prepared than I.
I don't think you have to listen. I think you just have to know us to know that that's probably the case.
Yeah.
Okay. For game number one, this is for me, and I don't know if I'll.
Let me take a peek here.
Yeah. We're going to go Cavs versus Raptors. They play tonight.
Yep.
Again, the Cavs, with Donovan Mitchell coming in, trying to kind of gel things together. The Raptors, I don't know if they're going to be, like, the 5 seed in the East or, like, the 11 seed. I have no idea.
The Raptors. Yeah.
Who do you got?
I got Cavs. I think, you know what? Actually, I hate to do this to you. I got a feeling in my gut.
Okay.
The Cavs should win this game. But I think the Raptors are somehow going to pull it out. Where's it at?
It's in Toronto.
Yeah,
Toronto.
Yeah, Raptors are going to win.
All right. You go with the Raptors. I'm going to go with the Cavs, obviously.
Shocking.
I'm a Cavs fan. And I'm just really excited for this team.
Yeah.
I would be really disappointed if this team didn't do well this year. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with the Cavs.
Okay.
Next game, Suns Mavericks. I think this is a phenomenal game. Luka versus Devin Booker. If you remember last year, the playoff game, game seven, where the Suns looked like a JV high school basketball team, and the Mavericks looked like the Mavericks, and
they smoked them.
Smoked them. I mean, I think Luka had more points than the Suns in the first half, or something like that. Like, it was bad.
I almost said something really embarrassing.
Oh no!
I almost said the Battle of Texas, which is not the case.
That's not the case.
The Suns are from Arizona. I do know that. I got the Mavericks.
Mavericks. Yeah. All right.
I think Luka's phenomenal. I think he wins MVP this year.
I feel like he's the favorite almost every year for MVP to start the season. He hasn't got it yet.
He's due.
Here's an interesting question for you. We can go on this tangent a little bit. I was talking with my buddy Trey last night. Shout out to Trey.
Yeah.
He was saying, do you think Luka will be a top 15 player of all time when it's said and done? And I said, I'll make my case. I said, I think he has the potential to be a top 15 player of all time, maybe top 10. But he's got to get some hardware.
Yeah. Like, he's got to win an MVP.
He's
got to
win some MVPs. Got to win probably a title.
At least one, yeah.
Got to like lead the league in scoring for either a couple of years. Like, get his numbers. Yep. Not that his numbers are bad. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're phenomenal. But
talent wise, he's there.
Yeah.
He's just got to win some things.
Yeah.
Win some things.
I think he's just got to win some hardware. But
I agree with that.
But I'm gonna go with the Suns here.
Interesting. Wow, we're really splitting it up here.
Yeah, this will make good separation in our running total.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Suns. I like their roster. I think Devin Booker's great. I love Monty Williams as a coach.
Great team.
Yeah.
Great team.
Yeah. All right. Now we're gonna go to the NFL. And we are going to go to a game that I don't know if it's really that marquee of a game in the NFL, but I just want to talk about this team.
So I want to talk about both these teams.
Yeah. Jets-Broncos this weekend. How good are the Jets? They're good.
The Jets might be really good at football.
They're good. They're four and two. But on both sides of the ball, too. It's not just like, oh, their offense is like you know, they're playing against the worst teams and their offense is just doing well. Like
they're
their defense is
team.
Good.
Yeah.
Sauce Gardner is phenomenal at corner. It seems like they really hit a home run with that pick.
Yeah.
Quentin Williams as well in their defensive line. They're really good all areas of their defense. And then on offense, Zach Wilson comes back from his injury.
As your dad would say, Playboy Zach Wilson.
Playboy Zach Wilson comes back and he's playing well. Garrett Wilson, the Ohio State guy, rookie wide receiver, I wish they maybe gave him a couple more catches, but he's playing well. Breece Hall, the rookie, the running back, is phenomenal.
They're loaded with young players.
Yeah, they're young and they're good.
It seems like they're well coached. Don't even know who their coach is.
Robert Saleh.
Yes, yeah. Rob Saleh. I mean, Saleh, great name. goal scoring name, if I may say. Jets are good, and the Broncos are bad. It's funny, going into this year, if you had shown me this game, I was like, this is the stupidest thing ever. The Broncos are going to win by 40.
Yeah. They can't score 40 points.
The Broncos
points.
Can't score 40 points in four games. Yeah. I mean, they're terrible. Yeah. Russell Wilson is hobbled. He looks like a toddler. It's ridiculous.
Well, and I was watching some ESPN, and I love watching Dan Orlovsky. I think he's great at the, like, analysis to where it's like, let me explain why this is so good or so bad in football. Like, he kind of dives into, like, the schematics of football.
Yeah.
And he was explaining, like, basically how, like, the Broncos offensively are so bad. Like, they do things that, like, high school teams, like, struggle to do. Like, he was showing a play where basically Russell Wilson got instantly sacked because they didn't pick up the protection like Russell Wilson should have. And a guy, like, he took the snap and the guy instantly was in the backfield. Like, he was untouched. Instantly in the backfield, got the sack against the Chargers. It was a tranquil for the Chargers. But yeah, like they are bad up front, and they have good receivers. Like, Judy's good, and Courtland Sutton is good, and even like their running backs are not bad either.
Their backfield's not bad either. They're just, I think,
I will say the Broncos' defense is really good.
I mean, yeah, to be scoring as few points as they're in, and as they are, and be in as many games as they are.
Yeah, I think they're like they've been in I think I was seeing something that, like, I think every game they've been in, it's been within, like, five or six points mm-hmm. or something like that. Every single game.
Probably under 20 as well.
It's probably under 20, yeah, because they just can't score.
Can't move the ball on offense. Well, and also, Russell Wilson was 10 for 10 in the first quarter and then went, like, 3 for 20 or something like that. Like, it was ridiculous for 15 yards.
Yeah. It's bad.
And, like, granted, I'm sure Russell Wilson is not the same quarterback he was 5 years ago when he was on that really good Seahawks team. But he, like, I was watching Cowherd talk about this. Like, he's not injured. He was playing well last year. I think it's got to be a coaching issue, honestly. Mm. Like, I think the offensive scheming and the coaching is just not good enough.
Yeah.
And the O-line might be a big part of it. But even in the first quarter, that he was rolling out of the pocket, throwing some darts. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So who you got in the game? Jets, Broncos.
Jets.
I think you got to go with the Jets.
I think the Jets are going to win this game, and I don't think it's going to be that close. I'm not going to lie.
I think it's so funny how maybe we're just jumping on a bandwagon, like we're on an emotional high or something.
It's possible. It might be the Kansas thing.
We could be kind of stupid. Sound really stupid, like, man, the Jets. But I mean, I feel like it's hard to pick the Broncos right now, like with just the way that they're playing.
Don't think you can.
Okay. Next game, Chiefs 49ers here. Chiefs coming off a loss to the Bills, which, by the way,
good game, great game,
great game.
Josh Allen.
But did you see the legend that is Tony Romo literally call the score?
No.
Did you see this?
I didn't see this.
Okay, it's going all over social media right now. But basically, during the game, Tony Romo. So, like, obviously the AFC Championship game between the game before the AFC Championship game when the Bills played the Chiefs in the playoffs, and it was that classic game where the Bills scored with, like, you know, like 30 seconds left, and you're like, oh, it's over. The Bills won. Mm-hmm. And then in two plays, the Chiefs kick a field goal to tie the game, send it to overtime. They win in overtime.
Yeah.
And there was a really high-scoring game, awesome game. Well, Tony Romo, during the broadcast, was like, you know, this game isn't going to be that type of game. It's going to be like a 24-20 type of game.
Wow.
Guess what the final score was?
24-20. And it was still a nail-biter. Great game.
Yeah. He literally called it, though.
That's amazing. Here's a question for you. I think the answer is obvious. Tony Romo was a pretty good quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good career. Not great.
Yeah.
Injuries at the end, but solid. Tony Romo, better quarterback or announcer?
Oh, announcer.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
Agree.
He's good in the booth.
He's found his calling.
He's really good. And I feel like he's brought some new life to Jim Nance. Like, I feel like Jim Nance is, like, invigorated a little bit. Like, he's... I mean, I love Jim Nance before, but now
great voice.
He's phenomenal. Hello, friends.
Jim Nance. So good.
Yeah, classic. But I really like Tony Romo. Anyways, back to this game. Chiefs 49ers. 49ers have probably the best defense in the league.
One of.
Chiefs have probably one of the best offenses in the league.
One of, yeah. Both top two, easily.
Probably. Rematch of the Super Bowl from 2-3 years ago. I forget, but a couple years ago. Who you got?
I got Chiefs. I think I will say, like, I'm a Colts fan, but I'm a fan of greatness. I'm a fan of really great players, and I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he's something we've not seen before. I think he's resilient. He's won big games. I think coming off of a loss last game, it's just kind of – he's going to start showing his maturity, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's been great his first 3-4 years. I think now he's getting that Brady-Manning rivalry with Allen where Allen's going to win some. He's going to win some. And if you're going to lose some, you want to lose the one in the regular season.
Yeah.
And so I think he's going to come back. He threw a bad pick at the end of the game that lost him the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Chip on his shoulder. He's a better quarterback than that. He's going to come into this Niners game. And I think – I'm not going to say he's going to tear it up, but I think he's going to
– yeah.
I think they're going to win. Also, a little intermission here. The Liverpool-West Ham game is at halftime. 1-0.
Unfortunate.
Sorry.
I was kind of just hoping for a draw here, so hopefully we can hold on, but I don't think it's very likely. All right, and then I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I think it'll be like a 20-13 type of game, but
right.
I think the Chiefs pull it out.
Well, I think so too. Like, the Chiefs' defense is geared towards run defense so that teams can't keep the ball away from Patrick, from Patty Pat.
Yeah.
And the Niners are a run-heavy offense. They're limited at quarterback. I mean, Jimmy G is a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he's solid.
I've stood up for Jimmy G on this podcast. But they're limited in the passing game. So, yeah, I think so.
I'm just getting on my phone. And West Ham had a penalty, and it got saved. So that's unfortunate.
That was their only shot on goal, was that save. Because Allison has one save. Wow, exciting stuff. Well done out. The team is invigorated. If Trent gave up the penalty, though, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to look at this.
Maybe we should check. That is so frustrating, man. Dang.
Okay, it was Joe Gomez.
Okay.
Okay, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that.
All right. Last game here, and this is a college football game. I don't know if you probably know much about either of these teams, so let me just kind of set the scene for this game.
Actually, I'm aware of this.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
But for the listeners, maybe, let me set the scene for this game. UCLA taking on Oregon this weekend. It's like the game of the weekend in college football, I would say.
Is Pick'em going in there? No, not Pick'em. Is Game Day going there?
Game Day is going there. Game Day will be in Eugene. It's at Oregon. UCLA ranked ninth in the country. Oregon ranked number 10. UCLA has a great quarterback in Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I believe. DTR for short. Not defining the relationship, but Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And Oregon's a really interesting team because they got stomped by Georgia week one, and it was not close.
Which Georgia's really good. They beat Vanderbilt. Sorry, this is off. Mm-hmm. Off script here. They beat Vanderbilt 55-0.
Yeah, but they're kind of supposed to do that.
Well, yeah. But, like, you know, you see, like, Ohio State or Bama, like, they'll smack teams that they're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
But it's usually, like, 59-20, 59-14. Mm. 55-0? No points on the board? Sorry, I thought that was impressive. Continue.
Let me just say off of that, Landon, that it is not very impressive. And let me tell you why. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Vanderbilt, let me go on a soapbox here about the SEC, okay? College football has a bias towards the SEC. It's hard to ignore that they have a bias towards the SEC. Let me give you a quick example. This is just a general statement, but let me give you an example. This weekend, Ole Miss, so Mississippi, plays LSU. LSU is not ranked and is like, eh, like they're like okay this year. Ole Miss is 7-0, the 7th ranked team in the country. LSU is the favorite to beat them by two. They're unranked.
It's not going to happen.
Ole Miss is number 7 in the country, and they're like the spread is I mean it's 2, but still, like, they're favored to lose basically. And let me just say, like, in general, SEC teams, what happens is when one beats the other, it's like, oh my gosh, they are the greatest. Like Texas A&M is a classic example. They're overrated every year because they have these great recruiting classes, but then they get on the field and they have like 8-4, 7-5 type of seasons. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, with the talent that you have, that is way underperforming. Anyways, but like Texas A&M, they lose to Appalachian State this year. And then they keep it close with Bama, basically. And it's like, oh my gosh, maybe A&M is actually decent. Like, there are so many teams in the SEC that are, like, in, like, the teens, 20s, that, like, I don't, Penn State played Auburn in the non-conference and destroyed them. Yeah. And I'm not trying to say the Big
Ten.
Well,
it's because Penn State's great. I mean.
Penn State is good. I'm not trying to say that the Big Ten is, like, better than the SEC every year. I'm not trying to say that because the SEC is good. And, like, let's be honest, like, there is good football. Like, high school football is really good in the South. But
yeah.
I just think in general our SEC bias is it makes this annoying because every year it's like, oh, what SEC team? Like, there have only ever been one conference that have put multiple teams in the playoff, and it's the SEC. But I don't know. You say, like, it was impressive Georgia beat Vanderbilt. Ohio State would have done the same thing. Michigan would have done the same thing. Clemson probably would have done the same thing. Alabama would have definitely done the same thing. Like, so, which, by the way, okay.
Tennessee-Alabama game?
Tennessee-Alabama
game.
Come on. Bro, it was phenomenal. What a game that was.
Come on, dude. Did you see them? They took the goalpost.
They did. And they, like, I think they threw it, like, in the river.
Yeah, I heard that. That's crazy.
That is
I love
hilarious.
It.
That is absolutely hilarious. But that was a phenomenal football game.
Yeah.
But they just actually in the rankings they just flip places.
So no, did they really?
Tennessee's 3, Bama's 6. Bama still probably that loss doesn't mean a whole lot for Bama, except that they have no more room for error at this point. Mm-hmm. If Bama wins out, they're going to be in the playoffs still. But Tennessee has to play Georgia still, Oof. Which will be tough. I'm pretty sure that game's in Athens too, so that Oof. Should be tough. And if they win that game, then they probably have to play Bama again in the SEC championship. Oof. So it's a tough road for Tennessee. And let me say, their offense is probably like the second best offense in the country. Probably
Tennessee.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say
those Volunteers.
They're probably the Hendon Hooker, their quarterback, is great. He'll probably be an NFL quarterback, maybe for the Colts.
That would be great. We'll take anyone. Actually, let me throw some respect to Matty Ice.
He played well last week.
Played well. 3 touchdowns, 300 and something yards, and no picks.
Yeah.
He threw the ball 58 times, which is a lot.
That is a lot.
But
that is a lot for someone who led the league in sacks, getting sacked, interceptions, and fumbles.
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah.
But to be fair to him and the Colts, you know, coaching staff, Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines were out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are we going to do? Hand the ball off to third Phillip stringer. Lindsay. Phillip Lindsay, who honestly, great third string quarterback. Quarterback. Goodness
Running
gracious
back.
Me.
Running back.
Yeah. So back to Bama, Tennessee.
Great game.
Great game.
Tennessee, like, I think they play some cupcake this weekend. I think it's like Tennessee Martin or something like that. But they're really fun to watch, man. Their defense, though, I will say their defense was not great. And neither is Alabama's. We figured out both Tennessee and Alabama don't really have the best defenses.
Interesting.
And another thing about the SEC that drives me crazy is if this happened in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or any other conference, it'd be like, man, those defenses are terrible. They stink. They both gave up almost like 50 points, basically. Like,
It's true.
But in the SEC, it's like, oh man, look at those offenses, man. They are spectacular. Which they are. They're good. But like,
yeah,
we're not hearing a whole lot about how bad Tennessee's defense is. And I mean, we're hearing how bad Alabama's is because it's rare for Nick Saban to have a defense that's not
like phenomenal.
It's the most points Bama's given up since like 1915 or something like
Goodness
that.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. But anyways, back to this game that we're picking.
Yeah,
here.
UCLA, Oregon.
UCLA, Oregon. Oregon with Bo Nix as their quarterback. They've started to turn things around a little bit, starting to figure some things out. Just sitting with the one loss against Georgia, and UCLA still undefeated. Who you got?
One of my professors is a big UCLA fan.
Okay.
I'm going with UCLA. They've been on a roll. They've beaten like some good teams.
Are you picking them to try to get more credit in the class? Or
that's possible.
Maybe some extra credit.
Dr. Goodrich, I need a good grade. Come on.
UCLA, okay.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. You know what? I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Oregon.
That's a safe bet.
I think UCLA is really good, but I in these big games like this, UCLA hasn't really been this good in a while, and I feel like
True.
Oregon's experience with
Oregon hasn't been good in a while
playing
either,
in bigger games in the past couple years. Even if they've been good, but they haven't been like UCLA has not been good really in the past
That's
couple
true.
Years, but I'm going to go with Oregon there.
I like it.
So, good separation there with our picks.
I mean, only two picks the same. I'm excited to see how it goes.
Yeah, should be really interesting. And then the last thing here we'll talk about before we wrap up.
Just briefly. We said it was going to be sports heavy.
Yeah, it was going to be a little sports heavy today. But let's talk about fandom a little bit.
A little bit of fandom here.
Let me just ask you this question. Why is like being a fan of something or someone like why are we drawn to that so much, do you think? And why, like, why is it so exciting? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like as like a fan, like thinking about the teams that I am a fan of or whatever, or even the players that I'm a fan of or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something that like, I think that in us that we want to like, connect or be a part of, even if we can't directly be a part of it. We want to to be a part of it in a sense.
Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say. I think there's an innate human desire to identify with a larger group of people and have like unity and connection with that group. So whether, you know, as a fan of a sport, you know, you're fans with that team and then you whatever it is. And like, I'm not saying it all boils down to that. Some people like sports a lot and they just really enjoy the game. You know,
that's,
but there's fans everywhere, you know, fans of music, fans of art, fans of, like, fandom goes way beyond. I think it's just an innate human desire to associate with someone that's doing something really well and either cheer them on or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's levels of healthiness to that. You know, I think being a fan of a sports team to an extent is great.
Yeah.
You know, being a fan of a musical artist to an extent is great. If you have idolized that sports team or that player or that artist, then you have done something not so great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I brought this up because I was sitting at your JV basketball game last night.
Okay.
And I've realized this as I've watched my wife's soccer games that I am not nearly as vocal of a fan as I used to be. When I was in high school, which granted is not the highest level of maturity for anybody, I was obnoxious.
You broke my door.
I broke your door.
Because Grayson Allen hit a game winner.
It
Duke.
Was awesome. I broke your door. I yelled a lot, like yelled at refs, yelled at, like, I was obnoxious. I was an obnoxious fan. And now I look at myself watching games and I'm not. I'm like the very opposite. Like, I'm the kind of person, if I had a child, they would wonder if I was even there because I don't say anything. Which I'm not – I don't think that's better. I think I've gone – I've overcorrected. I've swung too far on the pendulum and I struggle to cheer – like I struggle to cheer loudly for my wife, who I should be cheering – if I'm cheering for anyone, that's who I should be cheering for loudly because that's, you know, my partner for life. And so, yeah, I thought about this as your dad encouraged you as you bricked a three last night.
One of many.
Sorry. I had to throw it out there. I will say, listeners, I've watched Jay Carman play a lot of basketball. A lot of basketball. And last night was not his best.
It's not my best night. But we got the win by 25.
You got the win by 25.
And Marcus Davidson's a bucket.
And I was glad to be there. It was good to see
you play. Yeah, it was fun.
And you played, like, you didn't play terribly. You know, could have played worse. I want to talk about one thing about the game last night in a second. But yeah, so I think there's a right way to be a fan. I'm not saying I know what that is at all.
I think
– but I'm learning as I go.
I think obviously – so there are definitely different stages of fandom, I feel like. Like, for example, like I obviously am a big – like I'm a Cleveland sports fan, like Cavs, Guardians, Browns, that type of thing. And I will root for my teams. But when for them, for those teams, I feel I'm not quite as invested necessarily. They're my teams and I root for them and I obviously want them to do well and everything. But there's a difference between those teams and my fandom for like Ohio State. And I think part of that is because like growing up, like I've kind of like developed slowly, you know, a fandom for these Cleveland sports teams or whatever. But growing up, like, in the house that, like, I did, like, Ohio's, like...
It's part of your DNA.
It was part of, like, part of my family dynamic was watching the football games with my dad and with my mom and with my brother.
And your dog.
And Luther. Rest in peace,
Luther. Rest in peace,
Luther. But part of our dynamic growing up was watching those games together.
Yeah.
So, like, when I was 5 years old and when I was when I'm now a senior in college, like, I go home... Well, I live at home now. But even like last year, junior year, when I was in college, I would go home partially because I could because I'm 5 minutes from you know, I live 5 minutes from campus. But I would go home every Saturday to watch the Buckeye game, every single one. And like it was like this big thing that like brought our family together was Ohio State.
Right.
And so I think that's part of the reason why I'm so invested in Ohio State, particularly football, because
– It's more than football.
It feels like – You know, for example, like if we lose a game, like if we lose and we don't make the playoff, right? Then that's an opportunity missed for our family to like watch a playoff Ohio State football game together,
right?
And that's that's like that stinks, and
that vacuums, as your mother
vacuums,
would say.
Only vacuums suck, as my mom would say. but like seriously, like it has it's just so like it's so important to our family, and obviously there are things that we value way higher than Ohio State and sports, whatever, in our family.
Right.
But there is this sort of that is something that connects our family.
It's
really
like
well.
It's a tool that you guys all love. Like it's you're not just like oh well, let's use Ohio State game to hang out with one another.
Yeah.
You love the game. You want to be there. You're passionate about it. But it's a tool to spend more time together.
Yeah. It's a way that we spend time together. Yeah, for sure.
I'm interested. How much did Ohio State football and watching those games with your parents influence your college decision? Because I remember when we were picking schools.
Yeah.
It, for you, it was between Cedarville and Grace.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's a great question. I think – so I will say I think in general I'm more of a homebody than a lot of people. So yeah. I think but I think I would be lying if I said that it didn't have any influence on my decision at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, like it was a way for our family to like – like one of the like – one of the things that me and my dad talked the most about is probably Ohio State football. And mm-hmm. and so and I, you know, if, even if I went, let's say I went to Cedarville, like I could still talk Ohio State football with my dad because I would watch the games. And but like this, like rhythm that we've developed over the years of like we're watching the Ohio State game every commercial break, we're checking Ohio State Twitter and we're sharing tweets back and forth that are really funny, and we're talking about, you know, the coaches and our schematics, and we're talking about just like this Ohio State roster and our favorite players and all that stuff. Like it's just so much fun. Like it really is a way for us to connect. And beyond that, even my grandparents, like
mm-hmm.
My grandpa went to Ohio State a long time ago, and one of the things that really connects us is Ohio State football. Like whenever my grandparents these are my mom's parents, whenever my grandparents call my mom and want to catch up with her and everything, my grandpa wants to talk to me on the phone about Ohio State football.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we do every year is that we always kind of place a bet is not really the right word, but like we basically like bet each other like who's going to be the first Ohio State player taken in the draft, or like first or second player, or like when are they going to be taken?
We don't place bets. We talk about gambling and whether it's healthy in episode 4.
So yeah, episode 4. You want to go check out?
Go check out our take on gambling in episode 4.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about it here.
So continue. But yes. Well, that's just a way that we connect, and it's really cool that's the case. And like for example, when I took my girlfriend Autumn and my friends Isaac and Anna,
congratulations to Isaac and Anna.
By the way, my buddy Isaac just got married to Anna, so shout out!
So excited
I was
about that.
Fortunate to be a groomsman in the wedding.
Good for you.
Phenomenal wedding.
I wasn't invited.
It's okay.
It's fine.
You have to take that up with Isaac. Phenomenal wedding. Super Christ-centered, and love seeing my guy Isaac get married. So it was really fun. But going to the Ohio State game with them was part of the reason why it like was so much fun, was because I wanted to show them this side of like what I've grown up with. Like,
yeah.
Like it's like my indirect family in a sense of like
right. Again, it's like, and all of our listeners know that we talk about Ohio State football a lot. It's not just like it's part of who you are. Like it's again, like you grew up in it. You were raised. Like it's so cheesy to say that you're like raised an Ohio State fan is part of who you are, but like it really is. And like I think your parents have done it well in the way that, you know, you're not worshiping Ohio State players.
Right.
CJ Stroud is not your savior.
He's not my savior.
But you like the game and you like the team, and it brings you together.
It's a way to be a part of something. And I think that's like part of the fun of fandom is like we were saying, is like you get to indirectly like associate yourself with this group or this team or whatever, or this player or whatever it may be. And like you said, we don't just do that in sports. Like we'll do that with a favorite musician that we like, or like a band that we love, or even you know, even
like
at time,
Quarter Italian,
yeah. Go check out the concert, Quarter Italian. but yeah, we associate ourselves with these things, and I don't really know where I stand with like how like with the levels. Obviously, like we know if we do it too much, then it's wrong. But But I think it could be, a good thing. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think this I've been trying to think of how to say this in a way that's not cheesy, because I think a lot of people say like team Jesus, or like Jesus, you're a fan of Jesus. And I think that's really cheesy and not helpful.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. But I think there is a space to say like, wow, man, I like have watched a lot of Liverpool highlights this week, And I have like read a lot of tweets or a lot of articles about Trent Alexander-Arnold and whether he's going to be able to play and what that looks like. But I have not touched my Bible, like not even touched it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's when it becomes an issue, right? You know, when we start worshiping things over Christ.
And it, when it consumes our time so much. Like, and you were saying, like, you know, Team Jesus and, like, fan, and like, that is a little, you know, maybe cringy. But I do think that it is a picture of, like, we as people, I think, like, when we're a fan of these teams, we our behavior, like, changes because of these teams, right? Like, for example, like, they're just, like, I don't have to go home, like, every weekend to watch the – like, I don't have to. And like my parents would not be offended if I didn't, you know, come home every weekend or whatever. But because of my love for this team and my love for, you know, my family and those together, I have so much desire to go home with my family and watch watch the game. And I think, you know, similarly, like this may be a crazy parallel or analogy or whatever, but in the same way, like when Christ saves us, like he changes, one of the things he does, he changes our desires. And so like things that we wouldn't normally like do because of what the beauty of what we've seen that Christ has done already. Like we want to associate ourselves with that. And we want to, like, it changes our behavior and it changes our desires of the things that we want. And so like, like what you were saying, like it becomes a problem when we sit there and watch Liverpool or Ohio State or whoever highlights all day and our Bible is sitting there on the shelf and we hardly look at it, you know, like, and that's something even in my own personal life I've been challenged with for sure.
Same.
Is like the balance of like how, if the Bible is so impactful, like, why do I not spend more time in the Word, or like, why do I not like, I haven't solved this. I'm still, you know, going through these things, but like, there is so much importance with setting aside time to be in the Word and, even whether it's like reading your Bible, of course, but even to, and not replacing Bible reading, but even if it's listening to podcasts or listening to sermons or, watching videos, those type of things, like these things, like, like when we fill our minds with these things and use our time with that, that obviously is way more important than you know, filling our time with, you know, is Jackson Smith and Jigba going to be back this week? And what's our offensive statistics this year? Like those type of things.
Yeah.
Watching highlights, those things.
Yeah. I think to close up, we got to wrap here. But oh dear, the girlfriend's giving Jakey a call there. Autumn, we'll be right back. We'll get back to you in just a second. In one of my classes, we did this thing. We're developing value statements, like different sort of like life, basically like life statements, and we're doing a different process. And one of them is values. Mm-hmm. And professor was like, he said, you know, this isn't what you think you value or what you want to value. It's like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Like, look at what you do throughout your day in your life. What do you value?
Yeah.
And it's like, in my mind, okay, yeah, like, I value church. I value, you know, quiet time. I value my wife. I value my family. Mm-hmm. And then I value my own things, right? Like golf or sports or whatever it is. But then, you know, looking at it, it's like, man, what? How am I spending my time? How am I spending, like, everyone has 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Your dad said this in their most recent Verison Century podcast.
Yeah.
No one's given 26. No one's given 22, like 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
How do you spend it? Like, what do you use your time for? And that's what you value.
Yeah.
And so that was like, not, I don't know about eye-opening, because I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I don't value anything.
Convicting, I'm sure, for sure.
Right. But like at some point convicting of like, yeah, I need the things that I want to value, I need to practice valuing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I value quality time with my wife. Okay. You need to spend quality time with your wife when you can. Like when that time comes, like phone down, do something that you two enjoy, that we enjoy doing together.
Yeah, for sure.
I value quiet time. Okay, in the morning, what am I going to do? Sit and watch YouTube about Liverpool, or am I going to be quiet and get in the Word? Whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
I could go on. The point is, you value what you do.
Yeah, for sure.
Or you do what you value. I think they're the same thing.
Well, before we get in trouble for statements that we don't understand.
Oh, we have to plug our socials.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Let's plug our socials here. Follow us on Instagram at That's Tough Pod. Follow us on Twitter at That's Tough _pod. And then you can email us at thetoughpodcast@gmail.com. We have hit a That's Tough Podcast first, Landon. We are crossing the hour mark here for this episode.
We haven't done that before?
We have not done that before.
Man, a lot.
But we had a lot to catch up on.
Catch up on.
There was a lot that we talked about in episode 4, but episode 5 here, we still had a lot to catch up on. But yeah.
And no reviews have come in saying that our episodes are too long. Listeners, if our episodes are too long,
let us know.
Let us know. And we won't shorten them.
This is our podcast. We do what we want. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.